Behold means see. If I say, behold, see, all things has become new. So God is saying, see it. All things has become new.
Pastor Benga's teachings constantly remind me of who I am in Christ, and now I can live every day of my life in that consciousness.
Pastor Billy's message has been precise and understandable for me. That helped me understand and see God's plan towards my finance.
You're about to listen to a message by Pastor Olubenga Taiwo, brought to you by Justified House Media. We know that you'll be blessed as you open your heart to receive God's words.
Let's open our Bible to James chapter 1. So, comes from the devil. Comes also stems of, wants to produce death, and sickness is just of everything about, just as sin is of the devil. But let's look at James chapter 1, let's see verse 13. He says here, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. This is very clear here. He says that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Because someone might say, oh, this temptation is of God. Or when someone say, oh, trial, some people say trial comes from God. Have you ever heard such? Trial come from God. Trial doesn't come from God. Trial come from the devil. You say somebody's tried. It's not of God. It's of the devil. As a reason of the word. You understand? As a reason of the word, the person of God, the word of God, the person at hell. Verse 13 says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Just like the temptation of Jesus. Did the temptation, was it tempted of God? No. Look at what it says in verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own words, lusts and enticed. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Of his own lust. Jesus was tempted. At that time, Jesus said, I think he had not eaten for 40 days, Abby. The devil tempted him with the lust for bread. Right? Yes. Because that was what his heart craved for. He was very hungry. That's what the scripture says. So the devil used that to tempt. So, but let's continue here. He says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Not every man's lust. His own. That means what you are lusting after. And enticed. Then, when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, let me explain it to you like this. Lust is not sin. So, lust, when somebody is tempted, it's not the temptation that leads. It's not, temptation is not sin. It is when the person falls short of temptation, that is sin. Do we understand? It is, so take for example, maybe someone is tempted to steal. If one is tempted to steal, is that a sin? No, it's not a sin. It becomes a sin when the person what steals. Take for example, this fine bag. In my, maybe there's a temptation. Ah, take this bag. So it's like, we don't know you took the bag. In my mind, oh, it's a temptation. It's in my mind. Maybe in my heart, I've lost it about, oh, having this fine bag. Now I see the fine bag. Oh, in my mind, take this bag. That is not yet a sin. It becomes a sin. It becomes, like, that's what it says here, that it is conceived, right? When lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So the moment I take the bag, the moment I proceed to do what the temptation is asking me to do, the moment I proceed with that, it becomes sin. Then sin too, when he's saying here that, he says, and sin, when it is finished, If you look at this, the Greek one says, when it is fully grown, it bringeth forth death. What it means is that, just like someone would say, when your cup are full, you understand? It would produce the manifestation of death. It's just like maybe someone is cheating people and it seems as if it's getting away. His cup or something will become that there will be a manifestation. Do you understand? Of the consequences of that sin he has. That's what this place is just trying to say here. It's just like when Paul, that if we walk in the flesh or something. Yes, verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death. Yes. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, to be carnally minded here, the death is talking about here, it's talking about the manifestation, pain, or all those natural consequences. It's not just talking about the person just dying. I'd explained this before. So, going back to the book of James chapter 1, with this now, is our symptoms to can be likened to, can be likened to like temptation. One is not sick until you accept it that you're sick. Do you understand? It is when you accept it that you are sick. That is when you are sick. The symptoms is not the symptoms itself is all those things. You know, thinking, you know, looking as though you are when you say as though one is sick. It's that is not it. The moment you accept it, that is when yes, you are sick. That time you accept it and say, yes, I am sick. Yes, I have catarrh. Yes, I have cold. I have malaria. I have... The moment you agree with it that it has become one with you, that is that time. So, just like this one too, that the same way to the symptoms too, those are not the main thing. So, when we look at this in the regard of dealing with symptoms... Because in these times, the symptoms, all those things, or all those things that the devil just throw around, you know, is just to make your eyes to shift your eyes away from God's word. To make you just like someone would have fallen to sin. I mean, falling to the lost and all those things. Oh, I'm sick. Just the same thing. That's what the devil wants. So once you have this, that no, I'm not sick. Christ Jesus has taken away Jesus Christ became sick for me. Once you have that consciousness, once you hold that as truth in your spirit, in your mind, then that's when you begin to see the victory. And you begin to see the victory that you already have. Once you also see the book of 1 John, let's see the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 5. Let's see 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That is the victory that overcomes the world. The world and its systems. That is the victory. The faith. The faith. Faith is acting on... James talk about... Let's look at what he talks about faith. Yeah. James chapter 2, verse 4. Let's look at verse 17. He says, even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead. That means if it does not do it, if you don't act on it, is dead, being alone. Yeah, if a man may say, thou hast faith, that means I have faith. Okay, so you have faith, me I have doings. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Actually, anything that is dead, I can say, doesn't exist. So someone saying that he has faith, and then you are not acting on the faith, you don't even have faith. So saying that somebody had, me, I don't even believe that somebody had dead faith. Because if you are walking, that's why I say that. Someone cannot just say, I want to just try God's word. You can't try it. Oh, I just want to try if it will work. Then you were never even walking in faith. You do God's word. Because you know God, this is what God has said, and this is true. Do you understand? God said this. And if God said this, it settles it. If God said, I have long life, that settles it. If God said, he had certain long life, that settles it. If God said that I am, or I have been healed by Jesus' stripes, that settles it. Amen. If God has said that my bones shall not be broken, that settles it. I don't care what is happening around me. I don't care. They said they are shooting in this nest. I don't care. This is God's word that settles it. Now, the works or the doings, how do you act? Somebody cannot be in fear and then he says, he is in fear. And then he says he believes God's word. Then how? If you won't be afraid. Right? Would you see somebody who's saying, God has said I have long life and you're afraid to travel. I'm not saying that one breaks law or government, but if government says, if everything is normal, then everything is normal. Like, you can travel, you can go where, you can go to where. And now, person is not afraid. Oh, why didn't I, and this thing, you know, I don't know what might happen, and then, God help us or something. I have long life. All those are just religious talk. I don't want to say true faith, but real faith. You don't have to even tell someone that, this is my work. You don't even have to start preparing that, I will do this. Sometimes we try to help people to help them act on the word. But when someone is of faith, you don't even need anybody to act on the word. If you are actually acting on faith, you would want to do what you believe in, right? You want to do it. If somebody has fever. Maybe person saying that, maybe this person is feeling feverish. That's the feelings. And then he has seen it in his word that I am healed. You can't stay on the bed. You are shivering. You are putting like 10 clothes on your body, covering everywhere. You've not had your bath. You've not eaten. You've not doing anything. And then under the pillow, you are saying, you are healed. This is just deceiving himself. What you should do, get up, do something opposite of what you couldn't do. Either you want to take a walk, saying, I think it was last year. I was feeling feverish. And then, it was last year. So I was feeling feverish. It just started that evening. I think Sister Abigail had just visited me. Just stood up. I just declared God's word. And I just had so much. So I didn't even know when I just started running out of the house. I just ran. I was acting out my faith. It's not that I said I'm going to act out my faith. It was just something that, but as I'm teaching now, doing God's word, that's where the victory lies. Amen. That's where the victory is. That's how you show that truly, yes, this thing that you're saying, you truly believe in this thing. That's when you say, yes, this thing, I truly believe in it. If someone knows that he's healed and he's crippled, truly, if he believes in it, he gets up. I'm healed. So I can't be crippled. I get up. It's very simple. If I'm sleeping, take for example, look at Abraham and Sarah, like I thought about it. Now, God's word came to them that they will have a child, even though they were even 90 or something. Look at what Sarah said in this place here. Let's look at Sarah. When the angels of the Lord came to Sarah, Genesis chapter 18, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that you are passed on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the hearth, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And they stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah hid it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of children. Therefore Sarah laughed within her, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. What Sarah is even saying is that, well, let's even stop even talking about the child. Shall I even have sex with my husband as old as we are? That's what she was even saying. Do you understand? Then look at 13. He says, And the Lord said unto Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but you did laugh. So she was arguing that she didn't laugh. She lied that she didn't laugh. But when you see this, so, and we all know the story of Abraham. When we look at the book of Romans chapter 4, let's look at Romans chapter 4. When you look at from verse 17, talking about Abraham, he says, As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened and made alive the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. That means Abraham, who against hope, believed in, you know, if I have thought about that, this is supposed to be believed in faith, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19 says, And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, let's stop there. So, first of all, it means that, when you look at this, it means that they actually had, they believed. Because if you look at, okay, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Let's read from Sarah's perspective. I mean, what Sarah's perspective? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. It says, Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child because she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Did you see that? Meaning that for Sarah to have laughed then and said, shall I have pleasure? It means that they've not been having it. We understand the mathematics. Because for Jesus, say, even when we are old, shall die, that means they've just, in their mind, like, it's already done, it's already over. There's nothing, you understand, they were old people. So they were just living like, oh, till when we die or something. But the word of the Lord came to them, and they were like, and she was like, even while we are old, shall I have? You know, but I believe that, or and as we can see, that's what. What do you think would have happened when they received, for them to have given birth at this time? They must have. You understand? Because they would have believed that, okay, we are going to have children. And so that way, it means the words, they acted. That showed they believed. Right? That showed they believed. That showed they believed. That showed they believed. That's exactly what James was trying to teach us. When we go back to the book of James chapter 2. Okay, James was saying something else there, but the Lord just taught me that you know, about faith and works. Then also, even here too, he also talked about how Abraham not justified by his works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? Because the reason why he was able to offer that, you know, it was because he knew that even if he offered his son, what? Yes, God will raise him up from the dead. And the Bible said he received him in the figure. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Counting, that means the reason he did that is because God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, which was a figure of Christ. We understand that Christ was raised from the dead, and also in a way his son too was raised from the dead, because to God it was as if he had killed his son, because he was almost striking his son. But the reason he was the faith is that the reason why he did that was because he believed that God was able to raise him up. So we are to demonstrate our faith. And that is where the victory lies. That is, we are not talking about finances, if not, I would have talked about that, but that is where the victory lies. That is where it lies. The victory is in our faith. In our faith. And it's not just even in, the doing might require that you talking out. The works of faith might just require you just talking out. Even when the doctor says no, you just saying yes, we will. Yes, I will have a child. Or yes, I know I'm not going to die. That is the work of your, that is the works of your faith. You just being able to say something that negates that particular situation. We understand? When you, the works of your faith, take for example in the boss, like I explained, for divine health, is that, I mean, for long life, is that when someone just says, oh, you know, all of us, maybe, you know, maybe all of us will just die in this boss or something, you say no. You know, these are things that just comes, it must be a part of you. It's not something that is premeditated. You understand? That's why we pray in this country. It must be part of your phronesis. That means you're running understanding. So, like, you just wake up. You just, if they call you even when you are sleeping, you just answer sometimes. It's because your name is already part of your, it's part of you already. In this way, in this one too, these things must be part of you. Yeah, you just answer unconsciously to these things. You just know that you know that my dear, all things are work. No matter where you go to, you know the Lord is delivering you from all persecutions, from all things. And remember, as we even see, that no matter, because it is God's word, no matter the affliction that comes, it will surely prevail. You will surely prevail, sorry. you understand, you surely prevail. I want us to see the book of, let's see the book of James, chapter 3. Keep speaking. Don't keep talking, you know, talking iniquity. Don't keep speaking unbelief. That's verse 6. Yeah, it says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. You know, you must speak life. Then also in this place, in verse 10, he says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place a sweet water, sweet water and bitter? Can fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, or can no fountain both yield salted and fresh? So our mouth at all times must yield fresh water. Amen. Must yield, what did he say? Blessings. Amen. Blessings. Must keep speaking blessings. Blessings to your body. Never speak curse to your body. And people don't know. They just say things, I have cold. Such a curse. Cursing your body that your body has cold. I have malaria. I have, you know, it's a curse. The Bible said Jesus was made a curse for us. Amen. It's better you even say Jesus had malaria for me. You understand? Yeah. Talk about the curses that Jesus carried for you. Don't put, and the Bible says in verse 8, it says, it talks about deadly poison. All those, speaking all those kind of words, they are poisonous. I've thought about that yesterday. Alright, then also, let's see the book of James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Or let's go back to James chapter 4. Verse 7 talks about submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will what? He will flee from you. Did you see that? Submit yourselves therefore to God. How do we submit ourselves to God? How do we submit ourselves to God? How? Is it that you now kneel down and say, oh Lord, I submit myself to you. To submit yourself to God is to submit yourself to the word of God. Do you understand? Do what the word of God says. That is how to submit yourself to God. That's how to submit yourself to God. Do what the word of God says. When you don't do what the word of God says, you are not submitting yourself to God. Some people, if to submit yourself to the government, is to do what the government says. The government of a nation. To submit to your boss, how? Is it just to be, if somebody just say, oh, and is prostrating, say, oh, I've submitted myself to the boss. Nonsense. Do what your boss says, your boss in work. That is how you are submitting yourself to him. We understand. So submitting ourselves to God is to do what the word of God says. Then the Bible says, resist the devil. It didn't stop there. It says, resist the devil. And he will what? He will flee. I love that. The Bible did not say he will walk. The Bible said he will walk. The Bible said he will flee. He will flee. Resist. How do you resist the devil? With your authority. The authority you have in Christ. Use the name of Jesus. You prevent him from doing. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every malaria. I rebuke your fever. Get out. This body is the temple of man. That's how you resist the devil. And the Bible says he will flee from you. And he has never stopped fleeing. He will always flee. So never allow the devil to complete the work he wants to do. Don't even allow him. Like I said yesterday, if you give the devil a minute, what he will destroy. If you give him a minute, he can take somebody's life. He can take somebody's life if you give the devil a minute. Never give him a minute. We are to hate the devil with every power of our being. Hate him. Some Christians don't hate. You think it's a joke? Some Christians don't hate the devil. They don't hate the devil. They just don't. They might say, I can say they dislike him. They just dislike the devil. But they don't hate the devil. We need to come to that place. I read a particular. I think it's the Footsteps of the Prophets by one man, is a, it was taught by Kenneth Copeland. So he wrote there that, you know, I think anger that rose up hate him, but that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Hate him so much that you are using your authority very well. That's how we see actually in this world. When someone hates someone, you just ordering the person that just, this guy just doesn't like this guy around. Not the one that you are just complacent with the devil, you know. Whatever he does, you are not even. That's why I say some Christians are, they are managing the devil around them. Hate him, cast him out, throw him out, get out. You know, have you seen the way someone just get out of here? The devil will get out. Says that we flee. Alright, let's see verse 16. Chapter 5. That's in chapter 5, verse 16. Oh, alright. Okay. Before we see verse 16, let's see verse 13. So I've talked about affliction. Thank God I've talked about affliction and persecution. So it says verse 13, says, is any among you afflicted? Did you see that? What did he say you should do? He says, is any of among you afflicted? What did he say, Sister Ike? Let him pray. Did you see that? But some people are afflicted with diseases. And they are laughing. Laughing. Maybe they are... You are watching movie, thank you. That's when you now want to start. Some people, I remember then in school. You go to your mommy and say that you are having... that they should buy you, maybe that you know. That's when some parents will start buying things. This my child is sick. Oh, he's feeling feverish. Now buy plenty chocolate. Buy plenty things. Oh, yeah, sit down and start watching movie. Now to sit down and go and start watching. But you are supposed to pray in tongues. You understand? We are supposed to. That is when I was listening to Andrew Womack. I began to get angry about so many things. Because it was like this affliction or persecution of those times is not the time to back down. It's not the time to start watching movies. It's not the time to start playing around. You know, I also learned from Pastor Chris too. Though he was talking about finances and stuff like that. He was talking about lock up yourself for 3 days. Lock up yourself. Start praying in tongues. Say if you come out of it, nothing work. Lock up yourself again. Add fasting to it. I'm telling you, for sickness, yes. Lock up yourself. This thing, I must get it. You understand? Affliction. Lock up yourself, and you're speaking in tongues. You're taking your authority. Speaking God's word. What God has said about you. You are holding God to His word, and you're showing your trust in what's actually. So it's not time for somebody to start. That's where many people quote about. If you look at the verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. But when you look at the B, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, you know, availeth much. Another one makes tremendous power available. I don't like people to just look at this verse 15 and verse 16, where it talks about, is it from verse 14 to verse... Those are for babies. Those are for lazy Christians. You have to start calling somebody. If you cannot see anybody who is of faith, person will just die off. I don't like to preach that. I have to preach that. Become active in your faith. Amen. Yeah. Take it up. Why are you waiting for somebody to come and pray for you? When the scripture has said here that what if anybody is, let him pray. Pray. Take charge. Of it, take charge of the situation. Speak in tongues. And when we speak in tongues, we are what? We are building up ourselves when we pray in tongues. Let's see the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. of whom we have many things about Melchizedek to say and how to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when you for the time you ought to be teachers, you have needs that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and have become such as one that have need of meat, milk, and not of strong meat. So this is talking about those that are supposed, you know, they are supposed to be teachers. Foundation school, they have to go through foundation school again. You know, and have become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13 now explains what milk and strong meat or this thing is. It says, for everyone that useth milk, did you see that? Is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. So those that uses the milk, they are unskillful. Person who is just of knowledge, someone who just graduated from school, who is not working, who has not used the knowledge. When affliction comes, that's when you become skilled. Do you understand? Yes, when you start using the word, you want to know if the person really believes that he's healed. Let affliction come. That's when you will really know. If this person say, or just like when someone say, I'm prosperous. Really? Let some trials and stuff come from the devil. That's when you truly know if this person is prosperous. But when all things are just, he's prosperous and everything. When all stuff, at the time he's in church, I'm healed. But the time when he gets home, or when something happened, and that is the time you want to know. If this person will stay true to his word, true to what he has believed. So look at verse 14. Look at what it talks about strong meat. Say, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But when you look at it, look at where it talks about that those that are of full age, the full age is mature, that are mature. Now, how do you get to maturity? Even those who by reason of use, did you see it? Have their senses. Who by reason of use, what have they used? They've used the word. You get it? Those are those that grow to maturity. That's why E.W. Kenyon said that it's not knowledge that makes somebody grow. It's the doers of knowledge. We hear many people say, oh, knowledge makes people grow. It's not knowledge. That's not knowledge. It's not knowledge. Knowledge is just a part. It's just something. But if the person just gets the knowledge, and then the time is supposed to act on it, he doesn't act on it, he's still the same. He can quote Greek. He can quote Hebrew. He can quote lexicon. He can quote all those things. He can even teach. He might not even be able to teach, because every teaching, we won't have a personal example. He won't, because he has never used it. You understand? He has never used it. He will just be a teacher of something that he has never used. So, he's saying here that strong meat belong to them, those that are mature. And he shows us how. He says, even those who by reason of use have their senses, you know, exercised. These things exercises us. Hallelujah. Yes. It trains us. And like I taught yesterday, a time I remember then that if I get feverish, you know, once fever wants to, you know, take me about 4 days before I can get out of it. But by reason of use, I just said about one that just a particular evening, I just acted on my faith within few hours or something. It's just, I think by the next morning I woke up. That was the last time. There was a particular, I didn't hear because I just spoke instantly. That's how you begin to see instant. Because reason of use, the more you become, it just comes a time. Just even miracles. That's how it does. Instantly, reason of use, but people just want to receive. No, that's why you can go on, can go for program, go for all the program. When I started working with God's word, I think it was from the book of I used to I love even till now. I still love John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. It's all my Bibles are that I used to mark that thing 12 to 14, where it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." This is the key scripture I've carried for years. When I started, I didn't know anything. This was the only thing I knew. Just to act on it. So it's better you take one. Just even if you will grow than having all the Greek, all the Hebrew, everything. So that's how we deal with all these things. And then, like I said, after a while, it's just by the time. And what the Lord spoke to me then is, and when I was in Agoa away then, you know, when I just started, said it. You, diabetes, this thing, you know. The world now has found something. They call it, because the person has gotten to old age, so he just has to have one. They call it, there's a particular sickness they call it. A particular term they call it. Everybody, even according to science, everybody wants, you must get a sickness. You must. When we look at this, we're in the light of God's word. Understand? So it is at that point, some people, you understand, it's almost too late. Look at Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack is about 70. I think he says 70. He's 70 what? I think it's. I saw a post by him. Maybe 75 or so. And he said he has not been sick for the past. When I say sick, like he has not been. He said he has not even had a cold for the past. Ever since he lay hold of that, you know. He has not. For about 40 or 50 something years. You understand? No. In their own time, I listen to a message, talk about that. There's also maybe catharsis, you know. Because my dad, why? You're sending to all their customers. Send you such message. I was sharing with time how Andrew Womack talked about, okay, I think his child went to school. And when they were teaching them about doctors, that doctors treat patients. And the son was like, nope. Yes, pastors. And what's his name? The teacher was trying to know. He said, no. It's pastor. You know? So he had carried this consciousness. He said that whenever he's sick, he said, he had to write a report to him. You know? His child has never heard about a doctor. Probably maybe when he was giving birth, when he just got into the home. Never heard about it. I also heard about Kenneth Hagin when his child turned 16. That's what he told his son. I remember his son had one ear issue. They were going to the doctor or something. He just goes to the get the diagnosis. Yeah. So he said, now it's time for you to use your faith. I've been laying. Maybe the son now is the one heading the ministry. Very important. Very, very, very important. You use it. Use it. Don't just say, just take bold steps. And one of the reasons that people don't use their faith is that they're afraid of failing. Have you ever thought about that? Especially for people, maybe praying for people. They're afraid of failing. They're afraid of the person not getting healed. But when you think like that, it means we understand. Because it means automatically you are just looking at yourself. But if you're looking at, if you're trusting in the name of Jesus, you wouldn't be afraid to do it. You'll be bold. You know that it could actually have been a shame yesterday, physically. Okay, we prayed for rain and nothing happened. You're going throughout the day. But I did. I'm trusting in myself. It's simple. And even when we do outreaches then, we do. Held it since we've been doing outreach. It's not as if we want to do outreach. We're not saying, this is ready, this is you. If I go for outreach and we do our outreach, we do it at the time we want to. Ever since, all the years. So but the reason why people, they don't want to step out to them, they are afraid, God will not answer me. I might just die in this sickness. Do you understand? Look at it, right? This thing might not work. If it doesn't work, what will happen? You know? But it's for us to be
bold. To be bold.
Every not just that boldness, it comes by the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm bold. I'm bold. Speak your word. Irrespective of circumstances, irrespective of what comes against me, I'm bold. I'm bold for you. Let's see Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, we've seen Hebrews chapter. Let's see Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Even as we've seen that faith is the victory. Look at what it says here. It says, let us hold fast the profession. Another, if you check the Greek rendering, it talks about the confession of our what? Of our faith. Without what? Without wavering. For he is faithful that what? That promised. Hallelujah. He said, let us hold fast our faith. Our confession. That means you keep on what? You keep on talking it. It might look as if It might look as if things are not happening or whatever. You keep on saying it. You keep on talking about it. I'm healed. I'm the healed. I'm the temple of the Lord. No sickness come near my dwelling. No evil befall me. Hallelujah. You know, you're holding fast. You're not letting it slip away from you. In the natural circumstance, you're holding fast to what God has said. Hallelujah. Praise.
Trust that you've been blessed. We love you to share your testimonies with us through our social media pages. You can also email us at justifiedhouseministries@gmail.com. Invite us to fellowship with us Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays 9 a.m. at Justified House Auditorium, Hamination. Beside all your teaching hospital, Shagam, Ogun State, for a refreshing time with the Lord Jesus, near your family.